الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم. أسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى. اللهم زدنا علما وفقهنا في الدين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this program that we have scheduled for today, which is on the fiqh of the zakah. The fiqh of the zakah. And inshallah, this seminar, we will have the questions and answers from the High Council of Ulama based in Makkah al-Mukarramah, the Lajna al-Da'ima lil-Ifta. And inshallah, we'll begin by going over the basic introduction to the zakah, and then we'll take a break for the Salatul Asr, and then we'll continue and inshallah talk about the rulings on the real estate, and if we have time we'll go on and talk about the zakah on the agriculture, as well as the zakah of fitr and the recipients of the zakah. Who are the recipients that are allowed to be given the zakah, inshallah ta'ala. فَنَبْدَعَ عَلَى بَرَكَةِ اللَّهِ inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah to bless us in this gathering, and it may be a number that is not large, but it could be big in the sight of Allah, inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah. So we'll start with the first question, inshallah. The first question is the ruling on the zakah. I think everybody has the packet, right? If you have the packet, we have the inshallah, the questions we'll go through, and then the answers are in the back that the Darul Iftah, they gave. The packets are on the table. You're welcome to take one, inshallah, for the help yourself, inshallah. And if you'd like to take notes as we go along, this will help you, inshallah, to refer to it in the future, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. To start off with the topic, the ruling on the zakah. But before that, the introduction on the topic of the zakah. The zakah is one of the pillars of Islam. One of the pillars of Islam. It's one of the arkan of khams, the five pillars of Islam, an obligation on every male and female Muslim, whether child or adult. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commands giving the zakah in the Quran when He tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. This is the verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take from their wealth a charity that will purify them, cleanse them, and to zakkihim, and purify them with it. And in over 80 verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He compares giving zakah with the salah. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. In over 80 verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks about the zakah along with the salah, showing how these two are very important pillars in al-Islam. And the obligation of the zakah is commanded in the Quran as well as in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he narrates in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Mu'adh to Yemen. Mu'adh was one of the Sahaba, and he sent him to Yemen, and he told Mu'adh, tell the people in Yemen to bear witness to the oneness of Allah. And if they accept that, then tell them that Allah has commanded five prayers. And if they accept that, then tell them that Allah has commanded them to pay a charity that is taken from the rich and given to their poor. And if they do that, then do not take any of their wealth wrongfully, because the dua, the prayer of the oppressed person, has no barrier between them and Allah. So here in the Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ, he commanded Mu'adh to go to Yemen and to take the wealth from the rich of them and give it to the poor. So this is a clear command in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. It's also the consensus of the whole Ummah, meaning all of the Mujtahideen of the Ummah have come to an agreement that zakah is an obligation. And therefore, the scholars, they say that anybody who denies the obligation of the zakah, anybody who says that the zakah is not obligatory, then that person should be explained to them the ruling of the zakah. If they persist in denying the obligation of zakah, then they are considered outside the fold of Islam. And if they die in that state, denying the obligation of zakah, then they are not even washed. Their body is not even washed, and no prayer is said for them from the Muslims. Now, but if a person, they, out of stinginess and out of greed, they don't fulfill the obligation of zakah, but they know that it's an obligation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in this case, the person, he is a major sinner. A major sinner, but they, if they were to die in that state, we still pray for them, we still wash their body and bury them as Muslims. So the zakah, it's a obligation, a pillar of Islam. So here the ulama, they also explain that the zakah is one of the pillars of Islam, and if one gives it up denying its obligation, it should be explained to them. If, however, they still hold such a view, they are considered to be kafir. They become non-Muslim. And we see in the seerah, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when he passed away, we had the Hurub al-Riddah. Hurub al-Riddah, which are the wars of apostasy. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in his ruling that those tribes that denied the obligation of zakah, they had left Islam. They became apostate. So they had the battles of Riddah. So it is something that would take one outside of the fold of Islam if they deny the obligation of zakah. The warnings are many in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he warns the people who deny the, who refuse to pay the zakah, that they will have a severe torment on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. And so the zakah, it is an obligation for every Muslim who has the minimum amount of wealth, which is called a nisab, and they have it for 1 year. One entire year. These are the two conditions for zakah to be obligatory on a person. One, that they have some minimum amount below which there is no obligation of zakah. This is called the nisab. The nisab. And they must have that minimum amount of wealth for one entire year. One entire lunar year. Not a solar year, but the lunar. The Islamic calendar is based on the lunar calendar. So they should have that minimum amount of wealth for one entire lunar year. If these two conditions are met, then the obligation of zakah becomes due on that wealth. The obligation of zakah becomes due on that wealth. This is for gold and silver and cash savings, and this is also for trade goods or merchandise that one has prepared for the sale. These two conditions have to be met. One is the nisab, and two is what is called hawn. The Arabic terminology here, nisab, it means the minimum amount, and the one entire lunar year passing on that wealth, that is called
What is it?
حول.
حول in Arabic. Now, so if these two conditions are met, then the zakah becomes due on the trade goods and on the gold and silver or their cash equivalent. You also have zakah that is due on the livestock and cattle. And for the livestock and cattle, we also have the nisab. You have a minimum amount for the livestock and the cattle, the sheep, the goats, the cows, and the camels. There's a minimum number for each of these animals, and one has to have the animals for 1 year. And then the zakat becomes due on the livestock. As for animals other than these categories, the ghanam, the sheep and goat, and the cow, and the camel, other than that, there is no zakat due on them. For example, chickens,
horses,
there's no zakat due on horses. Now, that's right. So it's only for livestock. They have some rules, and if we have time, maybe we'll get to that, inshallah ta'ala. And for agriculture, there is zakat due on agricultural products, especially what they call the grains. Grains and fruits that are dried and stored. So grains such as wheat, barley, rice, and even the ulama, they say, even coffee beans comes under the heading of
grapes.
Even grapes, because they're dried and they're stored. The grapes, they become raisins, and they're dried and stored. Dates, of course, and they also have a minimum weight, which inshallah maybe we'll cover in this seminar inshallah. And when it reaches that minimum weight, do we have to wait the whole the lunar year for the agriculture? The zakah is due the day yom hasadi, the day that we do the harvesting. Now, so there's no hold when it comes to agricultural products. So we have the cash and gold savings, the zakat is due. We have the livestock and animals. We have the agricultural products. And then you come to the issue of the land and property and real estate. And here the ulama, generally speaking, they say that for the land and property and real estate, the zakat would only be due if that land was purchased with the intention of reselling, like as a business commodity, as a merchandise, whether it's a house or a piece of land or anything that is purchased with the intent of reselling, that becomes a trade good, an inventory, and it's based on one's intention at the time they purchase it. Say somebody, they bought a building and they intended to live in it, then there's no zakat due on that building because they didn't buy it with the intention of reselling it. But if they were to buy a building or a house with the intention of keeping it, with the intention of reselling it to somebody else, then that becomes a business merchandise. And this is another category of zakatable wealth, which is merchandise or inventory. If somebody owns a store or a warehouse, or they have merchandise that they trade in, this is another category of zakatable wealth. They have to give the zakat for every year that goes by on that merchandise. The zakat must be given on it, inshallah ta'ala.
One question.
Yes, sure, brother.
People who have more than one house to live, for example, a summer house. Is the zakat due on the summer house?
Now, jazakallah khair. Question is, if somebody has more than one house that they live in, is the zakat due? Now, the zakat, there is no zakat due on housing in and of itself. Somebody, they live in the house, even if they live in it one day a year, or even if they don't live in it. They bought the house and they said, maybe when my children grow up, they'll live in this house. Or they bought a land, yes, and they say, when my kids grow up, or when I get old, I'll retire and build a house on this land. There is no zakat due on land in and of itself. Land and houses, they are not zakatable wealth unless they are bought with the intention of being merchandise in a business. Only in this case it becomes zakatable. So even if one were to have many, many houses that they bought as a long-term investment for living in, or they didn't have the intention at the time of purchase to resell, then in that case there would be no zakat due on those properties, inshallah.
The same ruling applies on the people, like we have houses back home, maybe we go 1 month, a year, but it's empty for
no.
The same ruling applies.
An important concept, you know, especially more in the beginning, is that zakat is only on specific types of wealth. Zakat is not due on everything. And maybe, walaikum salam, a good thing we can start with is a definition, the fiqhi definition of zakat. Because most people, the common person, when you tell them zakat, they say 2.5% of everything you own. That is what most people have a misconception. So actually the correct ruling on the zakat will give the exact juristic, the fiqhi definition of zakat. It is malun makhsus, which is specific amount of wealth, ukhidha min malin makhsus, taken from specific types of wealth, wa u'tiya li asnafin makhsus, to certain categories. It's a specific percentage taken from specific types of wealth. Not every wealth has that zakat. And the percentage is not always 2.5%. Different types of wealth, they're subject to different types of zakat. Sometimes you pay 10%. Sometimes you pay 5% in agriculture, for example. Sometimes you pay 20%, like buried wealth. Sometimes you pay 2.5%, gold and silver. So there's a specific percentage taken from specific categories of wealth. Not every type of wealth, but specific categories. They have to fall in one of those specific categories. If it's not mentioned, there's no zakat on it. By default, the type of wealth, by default doesn't have zakat unless we have a text saying that there is zakat on it. So it's a specific percentage taken from certain types of wealth and given to certain categories of recipients. This is the legal definition of zakat. So the zakat would not be applicable to, say, you take it for your example, the house that one lives in. Is it gold and silver? No. Is it agricultural product? No. Is it livestock? Is it a trade good? No. So we cannot find any category. Is it a buried treasure? This is also something that has the zakat. So since it doesn't fall under any of the categories of zakat, then it is not zakat. So it's only on the categories that the Prophet ﷺ, he clarified for us in the sunnah, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. Very good question. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so any other questions on the ruling on the zakat before we go to the next question? So basically, to summarize, the ruling on the zakat is that it's obligatory, it's an obligation, and the one who denies its obligation is no longer a Muslim. And the one who leaves it out of laziness is a major, out of stinginess, he is a major sinner, inshallah. That's the basically summary on the ruling of the zakat. And not only is it an obligation, it's a pillar of Islam. See, the difference between an obligation and a pillar of Islam is that some of the obligations, if one were to deny them, they wouldn't necessarily make them a non-Muslim. Sometimes you have some obligations that are in the religion of Islam, but if one were to deny it, he would still remain a Muslim. An example for most of the ulama, they say growing the beard, or a woman wearing the hijab. Depending on growing the beard, these are also some things that perhaps are well known in the religion. But say, let's take even a more lesser example, like for example the obligation of zakat al-fitr, for example. Zakat al-fitr is perhaps some people might deny it, but zakat al-fitr, it's an obligation. It's obligatory. It's agreed upon by all of the ulama. That's an obligation. Somebody denies zakat al-fitr, they wouldn't become outside of Islam, because zakat al-fitr is not one of the things that are known in the deen by necessity. Something that is an obligation, but it doesn't have the same status as the pillars of Islam. Somebody who denies salah, they deny zakah, they deny the hajj, those are things that are well known in the religion. And depending on the situation, some of the other things might be well known. For example, the obligation of hijab, some might argue that, or some of the ulama might state that this has become well known in the religion. And it's so well known that a person who denies it, as if they're denying the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So some of the matters of religion that are well known, these are called ma'lum min ad-din bin durura, known in the religion by necessity. It is so clear and so well known that anybody who denies that, they become outside of Islam. And paying zakah is one of those things. Staying away from haram, like staying away from alcohol, zina, this is well known in the religion by necessity. No ulama differed over this issue. And it's something widespread and known. Somebody denies that, then they become outside of the fold of Islam, inshallah ta'ala. That's it. Any question up to here? Inshallah, I want to give the floor to Sheikh Sajid, and maybe he can say, continue from here if you like. Fadl, inshallah. We'd like to, inshallah, the next question, Sheikh Sajid here.
I'll just say a few introductory. If you continue, inshallah, but just let me say words. Okay. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for attending the conference today. I pray may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you much with goodness. I'm, Imam Faisal, he invited me to help him out in this seminar here, and I pray may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you much reward and much benefit, increase your much of your knowledge, and make this seminar very beneficial for you.
Amen.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, As-salamu alaykum wa I just wanted to say a few words as an introduction, to the zakah. What is the zakah and what's the importance of it? Now the thing is, Allah Azza wa Jal, He enjoined on us these obligations, like giving the zakah. So it's very, very important that people, they know the rules and the regulations behind the zakah. Because the thing about the zakah is, there's things that are very specific to it. There are things that you have to do with it. And if you don't do it properly, then you will not fulfill the obligation properly. So just like, for example, the salah, when you pray the salah. If you don't have the wudu when you pray the salah will be invalid. And likewise the zakah, if you don't fulfill the rules for it properly, then the zakah will be invalid. And sometimes this is very, this is very sad to see. A person, they might be doing something wrong, not just one time, but for many, many years throughout their life, even decades in their life. So dear brothers and sisters, the rules of the zakah, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He made very specific. It's not like the sadaqah. The sadaqah is very much open. Person, they could do anything that they want, and it would still be considered to be the sadaqah. But the zakah is very specific. You have to do it exactly like Allah Azza wa Jalla, He commanded. So you have to do it exactly like that, like what Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded. It's not any way that a person may feel. A person may feel, oh, I feel like giving this person $1,000, that's my zakah. No, that's straight away. You have to follow the rules that Allah He gave to us. as explained to us by our ulama. So, my dear brothers and sisters, it's very important to learn what the rules are for the zakah. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, before I studied the fiqh and the ilm, I made many mistakes in giving the zakah. I gave it to places where it wasn't supposed to go, and that zakah would not count because it didn't do it properly. So it's very, very important to study the rules and regulations behind the zakah so that you do it properly, in the way of Allah. And the other thing is, the zakah, it's not something to show off to people. I gave this money, people are going to see, I'm a generous person. No, this is for your own self, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the zakah, it shows the love that the person they have for Allah. Just like if you look at the word sadaqah. What does sadaqah mean? Sadaqah. Siddiq.
Truthful.
Right, truthful. So when a person, they give the money for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that shows their truthfulness and their faith to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That shows how true they are to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because they're not doing it, so people can see them for any other reason, but to show their true faith and belief in following the ordainments of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the way that we follow Allah Azza wa Jalla is what was taught to us by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and traveled through the ages and reached us. So we have to follow that and follow the ordainments for it. And the other thing is, the main reason you read the books of ilm, the books of the fiqh, what is the purpose behind the zakat? Well, what happens is when you see the world out there, you see some people are very wealthy. And you see other people that are in need. They are poor. So what happens is the way that the world is, the people that are poor, sometimes they have a grudge, and they have the ill feeling, the shaitan puts the ill feeling, and they have a grudge, and they have some animosity to the people that are wealthy. So what happens is when the people that are wealthy, if they have an excess amount of wealth, which is above the minimal amount, the nisab, and also it's not just above the minimal amount, but a person, they have this excess throughout the whole year, which Imam Faisal talked about earlier, they don't just have the excess one day, but that excess lasts for a whole year. Then what happens after that? The zakat is due on that wealth that a person may have. So then what they do is they give it to the people that are poor and needy and the other recipients of the zakat. And what that does, that puts the peacefulness and the harmony and the love between the poor people and the rich people. So anyway, this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla has enjoined upon us. So what we have to do is we have to follow the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and do this commandment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And what this means, my dear brothers and sisters, we have to learn these from our ulama karam. We have to have the devotion to our ulama and our shuyukh and our a'imma, because they are the ones that bring this information to us. They are the ones that bring this knowledge to us on what is obligatory upon us. So people, they should not have aversion and dislike to listen to the ilm, because these are the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also after a person, they learn them, it's good to teach one's family and one's colleagues these rules that Allah has given to us. Now, so Zakukai, just wanted to say that as in the introduction. Let me give the just one other thing maybe I would say. The zakat, maybe Imam Faisal didn't mention it. What does the word zakat mean? Tazkiyah. Purification. Purification. So what happens is the wealth that a person they have, it's sometimes people they're very greedy and they say, this is all mine. I don't have a share to any poor people. Or even like, for example, a farm, a garden. A person, they might say, this is all mine. And if you look in the Quran, you see in Surah Al-Qalam, it talks about the people of the garden. They had this garden, and they said, this is all ours. We're not going to give anything to the poor. And then what happened? They slept, and then the frost came and it destroyed the whole garden. And afterwards, they were very sorry. They said, we should have listened to Allah. And we should. So similar to that, the wealth that we have, by default, it has some evil in it. It has the impurities in it. So when people, when they give the zakat on it, it purifies the whole wealth. No, if you look at the Quran, you see the surahs there, Al-Hakim Al-Kafir, Al-Qari, Al-Qari, you know, the wealth that you gathered, you know, it's going to be a torment for you. So what happens is when they pay the zakah on it, it purifies the wealth. It makes it pure. And literally that's the meaning of zakah, the purification.
Mm-hmm.
It purifies the all of the wealth that one has by giving the small amount. Okay, Zakah, okay, let me give the flow back. I'm going to get to, what's it, question number four, the fourth one?
Right.
Okay, so he's going to cover the first three. And
Zakah,
okay, and again, I pray may Allah SWT to reward you on your humble teacher today, and I hope that you find the information beneficial to you, and I pray may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inculcate the knowledge in you and benefit you much. Yes, yes, sir. Okay, good. That's a good question. So the brother's asking is, can you give too much in the zakat? What happens is a person, they can give more, but that's not what's obligatory on them. It's extra reward for the person if the person they give more. And that's a good point you have, because what happens is in Islam, people, they have, somebody is enjoined to collect the zakat for people. So what happens, a person, he might be enthusiastic. He says, let me collect more, you know, from the person. Let me tell him that he owes more, then we'll collect more. But that's not allowed, you know, because the person, he has a right to his wealth. And what's due on him, you know, the collector, he has to inform him exactly the amount that's due. And then if he wants, he can give more if he wants, you know, if he would like, out of his own will. But the person should not be forced to give more than what's owed on him. And then also the zakat collector, some people, they might say, you know, to be on the safe side, the zakat collector, you should tell them that they owe less, right? When people, they might use that reasoning. But also the zakat, you got to keep in mind, the zakah is the right on the poor people too. It's not just the duty on the rich people, but the poor people, they have the right to the zakah. So the zakah collector, if he collects less, then he'll be doing injustice to the poor. Because, you know, the poor people, they have the right to that wealth that Allah has given to the world. So the zakah collector, he has to state and explain the exact amount that's due, and then afterwards the person paying the zakah, if he wants to, he can give more, and there'll be extra reward for him. And keep in mind, if a person, they give more in the zakat, Allah will repay the person. Allah will return that wealth to the person. Because Allah, He mentions that in many places in the text. Whatever person they give, Allah will return it to him in the dunya. And then also Allah will reward the person much in the akhir. So if a person, they give more, alhamdulillah, they'll get more reward in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Person given zakat, isn't sure
how much qualifies the situation. No. So I pray may Allah subhanahu wa reward the person much, and Allah forgive him if he makes a mistake. But inshallah, it's a duty on everybody to learn the rules of the zakat, and hopefully, you know, if you take these packet, hopefully it'll give you some information. Imam Faisal is here.
Table, inshallah.
And maybe in the upcoming weeks, you know, after Isha, you have the question and answer session, so we can go over more.
Inshallah.
I doubt it if we're going to even finish the second packet today. Maybe we might get done with the first one, because there's a lot of rules to cover in the zakat. But inshallah, for more of them, inshallah, that's very good. I pray may Allah SWT reward you much, and may Allah SWT give you much, you know, because it's a good spirit to have, the person they want to, you know, learn the deen of Allah SWT, and Allah will reward the person much.
JazakAllah
khair,
so let me
give the floor back to
JazakAllah khair. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman. JazakAllah khair. If anybody didn't get the packet, it's on the table here in the front, inshallah. JazakAllah khair.
The answers are in the back.
Yes, yes. You see, you'll find the blanks here. This is for your own practice, but the answers are given in the back.
To be more concise, if we abide by the concept, by the program you gave it, because many people, they're going to come after it, they're going to
repeat the same question. Yeah.
So you stick to this.
Inshallah.
If
Inshallah.
The question is inside this or next, tell him be patient in the next one so we can cover as much as we can.
Inshallah. Inshallah. JazakAllah khair. JazakAllah khair. May Allah reward you, brothers. Inshallah. Much. Alhamdulillah. on the map for the brothers, we're actually on the second question, inshallah. We just finished the first. The second question here is on the nisab. The nisab, or the minimum amount on which zakat is due on the gold. Now, so here what the scholars, what the Prophet ﷺ commanded is that zakat is only due when wealth reaches a certain minimal amount. And the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned in the ahadith that there is no zakat on wealth less than this certain amount. When he spoke about, for example, gold and silver, he set that minimal amount of wealth upon which the zakat becomes due. And anyone who owns less than that amount, then he is exempt or she is exempt from the zakat. Now, and even if they had that wealth for a year or many years, but if it's below that minimum amount, there is no zakat due. And this is called the nisab. The nisab. And the question here is about what is the nisab on gold. And basically the zakatable wealth, the wealth that we have to pay zakat on, depending on that type of wealth, it has its own nisab. It has its own minimum amount. So gold, it has its own nisab. Silver, it has its own minimum amount. Fruits and vegetables that are zakatable, they have a minimum weight. And the animals that we get, livestock, it has a minimal number, depending on the type of animal upon which we have to give zakat. And less than that, no zakat is due. Now, and also another important concept is when we have the nisab of gold, for example, then we combine the various types of wealth to see if we are above the nisab of gold. So say somebody, they have some jewelry, some gold coins, and they also have some cash savings, and the cash savings by itself is less than the minimum amount of, or the nisab, and the gold coins by themselves are less than the minimum amount. So you combine all of the wealth together and then you see if it's above that nisab, that minimum amount. So again, if it's less than the nisab, there is no zakat due on that wealth. So let me give you a couple of examples. So a woman has a gold coin. The gold coin is 80 grams of gold. And 1 year goes by on that gold coin. Is there any zakat due on it? The nisab of gold, we're going to see, is about 85 grams. So the woman who has that gold coin that is 80 grams, is there any zakat due on it after 1 year? There is no zakat due on it because it's below the nisab. We'll take an example with silver. A man, he has several gold coins, but when you add them all up together, they come out to about, say, 400 grams of silver. And the nisab of silver is roughly 595 grams of silver. So that those coins, after 1 year, does he have to pay any zakat on it? There's no zakat due on those coins, right? Because they're less than a nisab. We'll talk about, say, an example from the animals, the livestock. The minimum amount of camels upon which zakat is due is 5 camels. So somebody, they have 4 camels, and they have these 4 camels for a whole lunar year. Is there any zakat due? No. See, this is the concept of nisab. Nisab means that it has to reach that amount before the zakat, the obligation of zakat becomes, starts to accumulate on it. And likewise, the hawl. The hawl is also a condition for zakat. So if somebody were to have, say, a kilogram of gold is above the nisab, right? But they have it for 11 months and 26 days. And then they happen to spend it all. So do they have to pay any zakat on that gold? It's above the nisab, right? But it didn't meet the other condition. They didn't have it. They have to have it for one entire lunar year. Even if they have it one day less than a lunar year, no zakat is due.
You sold it for money. So let's say you bought it a year ago and you still have the value of it.
Good, this is a good point here. When you change a certain type of zakatable wealth into another form of zakatable wealth, do you start the year over again? The year, the hawl? No. The year continues from the previous form. So say somebody, they had gold, they bought it a year ago, and then 11 months and 28 days go by, and they sell the gold and they buy silver, thinking that they can start the hawl over again. Actually, what happens is the hawl remains from the beginning, the time when they first acquired that zakatable wealth. Even changing the type from one type to another of the zakatable wealth doesn't start the hawl, the time period over again.
So
you still pay the zakat. You have gold and you sell it for cash. Cash money is considered, the ulama, they considered it the same as gold and silver. So selling cash for gold or selling gold for cash doesn't affect the beginning time of for the wealth. The whole, it starts from the time that the zakatable wealth was first acquired. And even changing from one type of zakatable wealth to another does not start the time period over again, inshallah. But in the case of somebody that had the gold for 11 months and they spent it on expenses, they bought a house. So now you went from a zakatable form of wealth to a non-zakatable form of wealth. The house, there's no zakat on it. So in this case, there will be no zakat due on the house, you know, after they bought it, because they no longer have the zakatable wealth. So the minimum amount for the zakat in on gold is what they call in Arabic 20 mithqal. 20 mithqal, and each mithqal is 4.25 grams. So how many grams is the nisab? 20 times 4.25? 84 grams of gold. Good in the math, mashallah. No. 84 grams approximately of gold. And as for anything less than 84 grams of gold, there is no zakat due on the gold. Now we have we can mention here the silver. The silver is 140 mithqal, and multiply that by 4.25. What do we get? 500. 4.25. We have 560. 535 approximately, right? Something like that. You get the exact amount?
Yeah, let me see. First two.
Those two. 595, okay, mashallah. Okay, so 595 grams of silver is the nisab of silver. Anything less than 595 grams of silver, there is no zakat due on that. Now we have the issue of, what about cash? Cash dollars, if we go by the 84 grams of gold, we get a certain value, which is the minimum amount. If we go by silver, we get a different value. We get a different value, which is much less, because silver has gone down a lot in price. So when we calculate the nisab for cash, then we actually find two different values for the nisab, which is actually the next question. If we go to question number 29, and we can do this just together, basically. Let's find out what is the nisab of gold and the nisab of silver. If we look at the price of gold, it's $54 and 42 cents per gram. This was as of September 7, 2012. $54.42 per gram of gold, and we multiply that by 84 grams, and we get the nisab of gold, which is $4,625 approximately. So if somebody owns gold jewelry whose value, if they don't know the exact weight of the gold, but the value is say they have cash actually less than $4,625, then they don't have the nisab according to the gold standard. So according to the gold standard, there's no zakat due on them. But now let's look at the nisab of silver. Let's do the minimum amount upon which zakat is due for silver. If we take the price of silver, it was $1.03 per gram. We multiply that by 595 grams, and we get the minimum amount of the nisab, which is $613 approximately. So these are the two cash equivalents for the nisab. Which one do we use? Do we go by the gold standard, and if we have less than 4,000 $625, we don't pay zakat? Or do we go by the silver standard, which is $600? Which is the minimum amount that we should use? For our cash savings, say somebody has $1,000. $1,000 is less than the nisab for gold. So if we go by gold, he doesn't have to pay any zakat, because he has less than the nisab. But if we go by silver, does he have to pay zakat?
Yes.
He has to, because he has more than the nisab of silver. So what does he do in this case? Pay the zakat or don't pay the zakat?
$1,000?
And $1,000.
For the whole year, yes. Should we go with 2.5 in that case or not?
This is a question. He has to have the nisab, right, in order to pay zakat. This is the rule we said in the beginning. You have to have nisab in order to pay zakat. If you have less than nisab, no zakat. So if we go by the nisab that the Prophet set for silver, then he does have more than a nisab. $1,000 is more than the nisab of silver. So he has to pay zakat, right? But if we go by the nisab of gold, which the Prophet set, which is $4,600, then in this case, he doesn't have the nisab. So no zakat is due on his cash. So which one do we go by? Do we go by the gold or do we go by the silver?
Go by the gold.
Go by the gold so you don't have to pay zakat. Yes, brother Nasiruddin?
By the silver.
Go by the silver? Why would you go by the silver? First, let me ask brother here, why did you say by the gold?
I think the gold is, for me, is very popular for silver.
Oh, I see.
Every tax, I hear they tax by gold.
Okay, so it's gold is more common. Okay, yes, brother. What, Nasiruddin, what would...
I could be wrong, but maybe as Muslims, we would use the silver. I don't know why, but I would think the silver because it outweighs the gold right now. I mean, it outweighs the gold in these mathematical figures. And as Muslims, we have to pay the zakat. So based on us having to pay the zakat,
okay,
I would think that we have to use the silver.
Be on the safe side, right? Basically,
yeah.
to err on the side of caution. You know, so according to one standard, there's no zakat, and another standard, there is zakat. So we err on the side of caution, we pay zakat, right? Is that basically?
I was saying, I think the question was asked, do we use the gold mathematics, or do we use the gold statistics, or the silver equations to come up with the equation to see whether the amount of money that we have, whether we pay zakat on that money, right?
Right, right,
okay,
yes.
So with that being said, I would think that we have to use the silver maybe always, whichever one outweighs the other.
Right.
If they fluctuate.
That's right. That's a good point.
Whichever one outweighs the other, in order so that it's legislated, so that you have to pay the zakat.
Okay. Good. Good answer, mashallah. Let me rephrase what you said. Inshallah, I think it will, this is basically the view that many of the ulama state, is that you do whichever standard benefits the poor more. You use whatever standard that will bring the benefit for the poor. Right? If you use the silver right now, silver is much cheaper than gold, then more zakat, more people have to pay the zakat, and this is helping the poor. Right? So they say that you go by the standard that you would rather use. If you have two choices, choose the one that will benefit the poor more. This is what many of the ulama said. So like you said, right now silver would cause more zakat to be paid, and this is better for the poor. If someday in the future silver goes up very high and the gold standard is lower, meaning more people pass the bar and more people have to pay zakat, then perhaps in that situation the ulama would say, go by the other standard in order that more benefit be given to the poor, inshallah. This goes back.
Yeah. On the other hand though, it would deprive some poor to receive the zakat because they have made hijab.
Okay, this is another issue actually regarding if a poor person has the nisab, can he receive zakat? This is a different issue when we come to the recipients of zakat, and what we'll see, inshallah, maybe we'll discuss this in the future, is that somebody can own the nisab and still receive zakat. Still, he might have the nisab, but he has such a need to fulfill the needs of his family, he still falls under another category, which is that he's not faqir, but he's miskeen. Miskeen means he has some wealth, but not enough to take care of the essential needs of the family. So he would still be able to receive the zakat. So it wouldn't necessarily deprive him of zakat, but if you want to look at it from that angle, you use the higher bar of nisab for the poor if you want to give them zakat, and you use the lower bar for the rich in order to give them zakat. Perhaps we could look at it that way, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Any other questions before we take the break, inshallah, for Asr? Anybody have any clarifications on the nisab? Inshallah. No questions? Okay, inshallah. So we'll take the break for Salat. Yes, Fadl Sheikh.
Do the women have to pay zakat too, holy men?
Yes, it's good for the sisters that are listening. Zakat, as we said in the beginning, is for women and man, child, adult, anybody who possesses wealth. Even they say a majnoon person, an orphan, any person who possesses wealth. Even if it's a little child, if his parent left him some wealth, zakat is due on the wealth. It doesn't matter whether the person is a male or a female, inshallah. So the women also have to pay zakat.
How about the gold that they, like, you know, if women wear gold?
Yes,
so
this is.
Have to pay zakat if they're using it for cosmetics or.
No.
If they're holding it and selling it in a sick.
Good question here. The zakat on the gold of and the jewelry of women is an issue that the ulama had differences of views upon. There are many hadith that mention that a girl came to the Prophet ﷺ with her mother. She was wearing gold bangles. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Did you pay zakat on it?" She said, "No." He said, "Then would you like to be clothed with bangles of fire on the Day of Judgment?" And another hadith where Aisha, she had a silver ring. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Did you pay zakat?" She said, "No." He said, "Would you like to have the punishment in the fire for it?" So there are many hadith that say that indicate that zakat is due even on the jewelry of women. This is the view of the Hanafi school and the view of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. There's another view that says that these hadith all have weakness in their chains. There's no clearly authentic hadith without a doubt. All of them, they have some ambiguity in their chains. And this is why the other schools of law, like Shafi and Ahmed and Malik, they said there's no zakat on the jewelry that women wear. Inshallah ta'ala. Allah knows best. Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa alayhi wa sallam. through that.